Title today, is anyone among you sick? How many of you know that that's in Scripture? Is anyone among you sick? What does the Word of God tell us to do? In the next line, call the elders of the church to come and pray for you. Mark 16, 17 through 18 says, these signs will accompany those who have believed in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will get well. This starts out in verse 17 by saying, accompany those who have believed. Just in case you don't know this, your salvation comes with more than faith that God could do something in a particular situation. Your salvation comes with the Holy Spirit. Jesus promised that all who believe in Him will receive the Holy Spirit. And in that power, the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, the power of the Holy Spirit, that's the same power that's in you, encouraging you in God's Word, encouraging you throughout your life, sometimes rebuking you, sometimes lifting you up, sometimes giving you a hand when you feel down. According to Scripture, these signs will be seen in those who believe. Demons will be cast out. When I first became a believer in Jesus Christ, this was a hard one for me to understand, because though I believed there was something bigger than me, I had a hard time believing that there was a dark side to all of this. And as I began to listen to people who have had experiences in their life and began to see that just because I haven't seen it doesn't mean it doesn't exist, that there are dark sides. But the truth of the matter was, before I was a believer, I did see it. I just didn't understand what I was seeing at the time. You see, when I was about somewhere between 25 and 27, I would guess, I was making my rounds through the house right before I went to bed. And I went into each daughter's bedroom and I checked on them to make sure that they were in bed and they were still breathing fine. And yes, I'm an overprotective parent. But I was making my rounds through the house and I was checking on the windows and the doors. And as I went into my daughter's bedroom, there was this dark figure standing over her, about 6.5 feet tall. It's taller than I was. And the way it was formed, I could sense that it was looking over the top of her as she slept. I had no idea what I was seeing, and it scared me. And so I walked through it and picked up my daughter, and I brought her into our bedroom and put her in bed. And Lisa said, what are you doing? And I said, there's no way she's sleeping in that room tonight. And then I told Lisa what I saw, and the rest is history. But I had no idea at that time what I was seeing. But as I've listened to other pastors, and not all of them have seen things like this, but as I've listened to other pastors who have had experiences with demons and demons affecting people's lives, I've come to believe that it's in God's Word. There is a dark side, and it affects our lives. Roughly a year ago to today, I felt God put this same message that you're going to hear today on my heart. And I spoke it. But there was a part of that message that I was too afraid to deliver, because I didn't know how people in the pews were going to receive the parts of God's Word that I was about to share. And I didn't finish the sermon the way it was wrote. In that sermon, I spoke a lot about tongues, and today I'm not going to, because we're going to get to that ending part. Pick up serpents and be poisoned, and they will not hurt them. So how many of you want to run right out now and pick up a snake and let it bite you and see if you're going to get hurt? Are we called to tempt God? But just in case you think that maybe this part isn't part of God's Word, let me share two other stories with you. Because I know you guys love stories. So, here we go. I am very allergic to bees. I have 3 EpiPens at home, an EpiPen in my car, EpiPens in the church, and EpiPens at the daycare center. Because the last time I got stung by a bee, I looked like the Michelin Man, and let's say that I scared people with the way I looked, because I blew up so much. I have been allergic to bees since I was a young adult. And every time I've gotten stung, it gets worse. And so this last time, the doctor said, it's probably going to kill you. So here you go. Here's all these EpiPens. I have worked at this church for 2.5 years now. But I am afraid of those bees because I know what's going to happen to me. But I haven't been stung twice working on this church. And both times, there was not even a bump. I've talked to my doctor about it. They say, well, good. They say, don't take a chance. I still have my EpiPens, but I'm thankful to God that He continues to show me, even in those moments, that He's faithful to His Word. Here's another story for you. Lisa. All of you guys who've had fellowship luncheons with us know that Lisa has a gluten allergy. Some of you may know what that means. Others of you may not know that what the rest of us eat with flour in it is poison to Lisa. And when we found through all the testing that they did, because for the first year they had no idea what was going on with her, but when they finally did all the internal testing and found out what was wrong with her, they said, well, this is severely advanced for you. Usually we find it in people sooner than this. And so Lisa's diagnosis at the time was, if you continue eating gluten, you are going to die because your body can't handle it anymore. And so there's been a few times since Lisa got diagnosed with this that she has been told at restaurants or whatever, oh no, there's no gluten in it. And then she eats it and then she gets sick because there was flour in it. And the waiter just didn't assume that there was. But there was this one particular time where Lisa went to an event with some of the ladies here, a woman's event. And they were eating lunch. And Lisa talked to them about she has celiac disease, she can't have gluten in the pasta. The pasta cannot have flour in it, and it has to be special. And the waitress went back, did all the process that she was supposed to do, told them that it was supposed to be gluten-free pasta. And lo and behold, when Lisa started eating it, you can tell the difference between gluten-free pasta and regular pasta. And she knew that it wasn't gluten-free pasta. And she had eaten half the dish or whatever it was. And she sent me a message because she knew she was going to be sick. And I don't know all the rest of what happened with prayer and stuff, but I know that there was a few people that were praying for her. And she contacted me that night. And she said, I have no sickness, I have no pain, there's nothing. But I know that what I ate was regular pasta. Pick up serpents and be poisoned and it will not hurt them. Does it mean we can do foolish things? No. But does it mean that God can protect you from something that would naturally harm you? Yes. Lay hands on the sick. So a few more stories. All the stories are in the beginning. Lay hands on the sick. I've shared numerous stories, and last year when I was putting this together to share with you guys, I shared a couple of stories. One of them was about waking up in the middle of the night and praying for somebody. who I had no idea what was wrong with him, but I couldn't go back to sleep until I prayed for him, and I did pray for him, and I rolled over and went back to sleep. And less than a week later, I heard from this person that something weird had happened in their life. And when they went to the doctor to talk to the doctor about it, they found out that what came out of that person's body was in fact a tumor, the size of my hand. That just came out of that person's body. Can God heal people? Does it always need to make sense on how? Lisa and myself, we love to go and learn more about God's Word, learn deeper things about God's Word. And one of the things that really intrigues us and encourages us is God's Word about healing. And the reason that it's so deep in our hearts is because we've seen God do some amazing things in people's lives, things that we can't explain. And so recently, Lisa and myself, we went to a seminar that was teaching about God's Word and how it talks about healing and what it talks about in healing. And so Lisa took pages and pages and pages of notes. And last Monday, Lisa was standing in the sound booth with me when we were doing the video for our Bible study. And I leaned over and I said to Lisa, I've been fine all day. I said, I feel like I just stuck a sandblaster hose in my mouth. My throat just felt like sand was tearing it apart. We made it through the Bible study. We went home that night. Lisa never said anything to me. She was praying for me. The next morning, I sat up in bed, and I was amazed. And I just sat there pondering what I was feeling. And Lisa rolled over, and she goes, "What you doing?" And I said, "Remember all that pain I said I was in last night? It's gone. I mean, like, not just like it faded away, but like nothing. No back pain, no head pain, no throat pain, none of it." She's like, "Well, I prayed for you last night. What did you expect?" It doesn't always have to be about healing. When Lisa and I were putting together this message last night, Lisa pointed out to me the number of times that people in our lives had talked about heartache, something that was really affecting their heart. They talked to us about financial issues. It was just tearing them apart that they couldn't meet all their financial needs. People were talking to us about family issues. Their family was coming apart. God heals us more than just our physical bodies. He heals our emotions. He heals our thoughts. He heals our habits. He heals our finances. I'm not going to go into the stories about finances. But there was a time right after I became a pastor and somebody came up who I believe was new in faith. Maybe not completely new, but a baby. And they wanted something. They wanted something from God. And so they were asking for prayer. And this is what they wanted. Grandma was in town and lived in another state. And granddaughter was due. And grandma wanted to see the baby before she had to go back to work. And so the prayer was that the baby would be born that night, because grandma had to leave the next morning. But my prayer, see, when we're praying for people, if we listen to the Holy Spirit will put God's will in our heart. And we'll be able to pray according to God's will. What it is God wants to see in the moment. But we have to pause for a moment and receive what the Holy Spirit's speaking to us. And so the prayer that I prayed at that moment was, "God, please let Grandma see this baby before she goes back to work. But let the baby be born healthy. Not too early. Not with any complications. but healthy. And work it out so Grandma gets to see this baby before she has to go back to work. What news do you think I got? The baby wasn't born that night. The baby was born the next day. Grandma called work and was able to extend her stay. And Grandma got to hold her granddaughter before she had to go back to work. Two more stories. Two years ago, an alert came across my phone. An Amber Alert. How many of you know what an Amber Alert is? There was a missing person. And when the picture popped up on my phone, I knew that person. I knew that little girl. I had chaperoned that little girl, and I knew who she was. And so I contacted every person I know who prays. And we began to pray. We began to pray for the safety of that girl. And as news started coming in, cell phones are great, parents. If you're wondering if your child should have a cell phone, they should have a cell phone. Cell phones are great. They have a lot of bad stuff in them, and so they need restrictions, but they have a lot of good uses. And so how they found out which direction this young girl was going in, they pinged her cell phone. And they found out where she was going. She was on her way to New York City. And so all of the people who were gathering together and praying, our minds all went to the worst. And we began praying all that much more. And eventually we got a response that this girl had run away from home, hadn't been abducted, and was outdoing her own will. And my response to all the people that had been praying was, praise God. Because at the time that we were praying, we didn't know what the outcome was going to be, but we didn't want it to be bad. And this girl came home. Even though she has things that she needs to work through, she was safe. So why am I telling you this story? The point is, no matter what we're praying for it not to be the worst it could be. So if it turns out to be we had a complete misunderstanding, praise God. Because the safety that we were searching for still came true. It just didn't come true as, oh, they were in a bad place and now they're safe. It came through as, whatever. But praise God. The safety is still there. There was another prayer request that went out recently. And so this is my understanding, and I'll make this one really brief. It was unknown what was going on. But if what we saw was what was going on, it was going to be bad. And so we began praying. Not knowing exactly what was going on, but knowing that if it was what we saw, it was going to be bad. And what was the response? It wasn't what we thought we saw. It's nothing big. Praise God. Prayers were answered. When attack comes, we tend to fall back on our five senses, what we can see, hear, taste, touch, and smell. But faith and knowledge of the promises of God will bring us straight to the throne of grace. So today, choose what you will allow your mind to feed upon. The knowledge of God's word, when things stack against you, will allow you to stand on faith. 1 Corinthians 12:1 through 10. This is the longest one. Now about the spiritual gifts, the special endowments given by the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. Living in bondage. Because we don't know any better. Paul is writing, I don't want you to be misinformed or uninformed. I don't want you to not have the knowledge of what God's promises say. And God's promises say these things that we're going to read. But if we don't receive them, then we will go through life stuck because we won't know that the promises of God written in these scriptures say that we don't have to stay where our five senses tell us we are. Stuck in bondage. God's word says, you have not because you ask not. Verse 2, you know that when you were pagans, you were led off after speechless idols. However, you were led off. Therefore, I want you to know that no one speaking by the power and influence of the Spirit of God can say, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is my Lord, except by the power and influence of the Holy Spirit. He's in you. Now there are distinctive varieties of spiritual gifts, special abilities given by the grace and extraordinary power of the Holy Spirit operating in believers. But it is the same Spirit who grants them and empowers believers. And there are distinctive varieties of ministries and service, but it is the same Lord who is served. And there are distinctive ways of working to accomplish things, but it is the same God who produces all things in all believers, inspiring, energizing, and empowering them. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit, illumination, and enabling by the Holy Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Holy Spirit the power to speak the message of wisdom, and to another the power to express the word of knowledge and understanding according to the same Spirit. To another, wonder-working faith is given by the same Holy Spirit, and to another, extraordinary gifts of healing by the one Spirit, and to another, the working of miracles, and to another, prophecy, foretelling the future, speaking a new message from God to the people, and to another, discernment of spirits, the ability to distinguish sound, godly doctrine from the deceptive doctrine of man-made religions and cults, to another, various kinds of unknown tongues, and another, interpretation of tongues. There's spiritual gifts, and they don't make sense. They're not explainable. And they have a purpose. They have a bigger purpose than grabbing our attention. They're to glorify God. All of these things that we read about in Scripture are to glorify God. Now, what does that mean? That means that when I prayed for Grandma to be able to see her baby before she went back, and Grandma got to see her baby, was it me? No. It was God. Somebody prayed to God for her to see her grandbaby, and she got to see her grandbaby. Now, maybe she doesn't understand all of how it worked, but she knows that somebody prayed, and so God gets the credit. God gets the glory. When we pray for somebody who's been injured, for somebody who's been given a sentence that they're not going to wake up, when this church gathered together and prayed for my oldest daughter, who I was told when she was wheeled away in the hospital that I would not see her again because she was bleeding out faster than they could put the blood back in her. When this church gathered together and prayed, my daughter came back. They're spiritual gifts and they're for God's glory. And when my daughter came back, she recognized for the first time in her life, without a shadow of a doubt, that there was something greater in this universe than what her five senses could sense. Mark 5:34. Then he said to her, daughter, your faith, your personal trust and confidence in me has restored you to health. Go in peace and be permanently healed from your suffering. Over and over and over again in the Gospels, we see Jesus point out that people's faith, people's confidence and trust in Jesus Christ is what brought healing into their lives. Our hearts need to connect with what's about to happen. We need to believe that God is real, that He is true, that His promises that it can happen are true. over and over again in Scripture, it tells us not to doubt. Not to let that question enter our heart and cloud us from being able to see the glory of God. Mark 11:24. For this reason, I am telling you, whatever things you ask for in prayer in accordance with God's will, believe with confident trust that you have received them, and they will be given to you. Promises of God. Isaiah 53:4. But in fact, he has borne our griefs, and he has carried our sorrows and pains, yet we ignorantly assumed that he was stricken, struck down by God, and degraded and humiliated by him. Who's this talking about? Jesus. I know for myself, before I knew Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I just heard about the stories of Jesus and how he was crucified for mankind and how it was part of God's plan. And so this last sentence, we just ignorantly assumed that he was stricken down by God, degraded and humiliated by him. But that wasn't all of God's plan. There was healing that was involved. There was restoration that was involved. That was God's plan, restoring us to him. Matthew 8:17, so that he fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, he himself took our infirmities upon himself and carried away our diseases. Twice now, reading out of Scripture, he's carrying away our diseases. He's taken them upon himself, our sicknesses. He's bringing about the healing. We hear in Scripture where it says, through his stripes we are healed. Some versions say, through his wounds we are healed. Why am I sharing all this with you? Because it's important that you realize, so that you don't go through life without the knowledge of the promises of God, that salvation is yours through your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But there's more. There's more to God's promises. There's healing. There's safety. There's protection. James 5:14-15. Is anyone among you sick? He must call for the elders, the spiritual leaders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. John 14:12-14. I assure you and most solemnly say to you, anyone who believes in me as Savior will also do the things that I do, and he will do even greater things than these. Jesus, our Lord and Savior, said this line. Anyone who believes in me as Savior will also do things that I do, and he will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name as my representatives. This I will do so that my Father will be glorified and celebrated in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name as my representatives, I will do it. Jeremiah 30:17. For I will restore health to you, and I will heal your wounds, says the Lord. Matthew 10:5-8. Jesus sent out these 12, instructing them, and as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Right? That's what we do in church. We spread the word of God. But there's more. Verse 8. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Cleanse the lepers. Cast out demons. Freely you receive, freely give. How many of you guys have ever known somebody who was dead and came back to life? Praise God. I was hoping a few hands would go up, but I wasn't expecting any. I have seen it a couple of times. My mother took care of a little boy who died on the operating table. And they wheeled him down to the morgue with the sheet over him. And he came back to life. I met a man who came up behind me and put his hand on my shoulder and handed me a pile of medical documents and said to me, out of this crowd of people, God told me that you need this. Later I found out that that man died for 4.5 hours. He came back to life. The medical documents that he handed me was all the evidence from the hospital that he was dead. They had all their instruments hooked up to him. He was dead. And he came back to life. I've seen a few more times than that. Raise the dead. I've also got to pray for people. Like my daughter that I just shared. And each of my other two daughters. When their times came. Philippians 4:19. And my God will literally supply, fill until full, every need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. All of this today is shared with you for one purpose. So that you will understand that there's more to God than us just recognizing that he paid the debt for our salvation. We receive God's healing for his glory so that we can share with other people what we've seen him do in our lives. All these stories that I share with you, they're not anything special about me, but I've got to witness on what I've seen him do in people's lives. I've got to share with people what I've seen. Otherwise, there was no point in God showing me those miracles. God's glory shining through.